Hello and welcome to the First Prez Mommy Podcast, the show for people on the go who like to stay in tune with the conversations at our church. Have you heard the saying, Jesus is the light of the world? Today, Pastor Jason Armstrong shows us Isaiah 60 verses 1 to 5. It reminds us to live as the light of Christ in the world, and to look for areas to shine that light. Let's hear today's message.
And we have an additional scripture reading today. It is Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 5. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you, the riches of the nations will come.
Friends, I would like to open our time together in the sermon in prayer, so pray with me. Holy God, thank you for the word that has been read. And we pray for the sermon and the songs that we sing. Holy Spirit, our desire as we hear the word read and the word preached, that we not only be hearers of the word, but doers as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So my guess is that all of you are, I would say start with maybe all of you, but I'm going to say all of you, I'm pretty sure this is true, have heard the experience, whether from a parent or a sibling, someone you've lived with over the years, they come into your bedroom, it's a day like today where it's nice to stay under the covers and stay warm and think about things that you could do. And as you're sleeping or just starting to kind of wake up a little bit, they come in to the room and they say, rise and shine. Rise and shine. So the question about rise and shine to this morning, when you hear that phrase, is how do you feel about it? What do you think of when you hear that phrase? My guess is there are different reactions from everybody here about that, probably based on your personality or the way it's been said to you in the past. Now, some of you may agree that this phrase is a cheerful one, meaning wake up and get going, seize the day. Get going out there, encouragement, with abundant energy and purpose. But others may find rise and shine to be a burden. Waking you up from this deep sleep, this comfort under the blankets. Or maybe it's been asked to you or said to you in a way that almost makes you feel guilty because you're still in those blankets. For not rising, not shining, not feeling cheerful and ready, lack of purpose in which to take on the day. So as you consider that, as you think of the ways that you've encountered with that phrase in the past, take a moment to consider how you would feel and how you would react if God spoke to you and said, rise, shine. Because that is what the Hebrew people heard from God in our text in Isaiah today. They heard that as they returned to Jerusalem, to Judah, after the exile by the Babylonians. And also, rise, shine is what we hear today. We continue to hear that as followers of Jesus Christ. We hear that arise and shine with God's purpose and God's power. So the dominant academics of our time, they believe that Isaiah 60 was written during a time called the post-exilic period. And this is a period after the Persian Empire had conquered the Babylonian Empire, who conquered the Jewish people, Judah and Jerusalem. So the Babylonian Empire took the people from Judah and Jerusalem, and after they conquered that kingdom, they took them off to be exiled in Babylon. And as they returned, this Persian king Cyrus said they could finally go back after a few generations, the Jewish people could go back to Jerusalem. They're facing many challenges, as you can imagine. They have to rebuild their community. They have to rebuild the temple. All the things have been taken out of the temple and taken to Babylon. They have to rebuild their society and their way of life. But in the midst of this challenge, we are reminded that God does indeed keep his promises and his covenant promises. Because throughout the nation of Judah's history, God has spoken through prophets like Isaiah and like Jeremiah, prophets who warned Israel and Judah of their impending judgment and exile due to their adultery and injustice. Over and over again, this was told. And eventually it came to pass. But God promised also in those prophetic words, there's also a second part, that God always promised that after that exile happened, they would be restored. The people would be restored. They would be brought back to their land. They'd be healed. They'd be given peace. All this after their exile was complete. And that's where we're at today. So we enter into this time of restoration and healing. That the Bible, the NIV translation that you have in front of you, is probably titled The Glory of Zion or the Glory of Jerusalem. So as God speaks to his people, the first thing he does is give them a command. God says, arise. Now this is an imperative. This is a direct command. This is God saying, do it. This is very important to remember. Whenever God tells his people to rise, God supplies the power to do so. And we're going to learn two Hebrew words today. So the Hebrew word for the word arise is kum. So we'll say it together, kum. Kum, that's arise. This word kum always conveys movement from lower to higher position, from inactivity to purposeful action. This verb makes a decisive transition that changes the situation to one of engagement, establishment, of continuing of God's blessing. And our second word, followed by his direct command, this next direct command also is shine. And this word in Hebrew is or. Say or.
Or.
Or. So kum or. Shine. Arise and shine. You can use that with your children or grandchildren or loved ones. We'll be speaking to them in Hebrew. So shine like the sun, become light, become luminous. In this specific context, God uses this verb to herald the restoration of the people of Israel. Jerusalem, once desolate and broken, now becomes a beacon to the nations, we see in our text. Because the light, the hope of the glory of God that is found in the Messiah, it has come, it's moved towards his people, this goal of restoration and redemption. As the glory of the Lord, the glory will arise and be seen upon Jerusalem. And this word glory, it even means, it has this idea of weight in it as well, or heaviness. Like you're able not just to see the light, but you're able to feel the glory of God. And the glory will rise or shine over all of you. And that glory that rises and shines is the Lord himself. And it continues on and dispels the darkness of nations. It's not like when someone comes in your room and turns a light on, says rise and shine, and shuts the light off. This light stays on always. Because where light is not, where God's glory does not shine, there indeed is only darkness. Darkness and distress, contention. And as it's described as thick darkness, it's a deep and total gloom. It's a heavy cloud. And even in that word, there's weight, right? The darkness has weight. I'm sure you've been in situations where it's been so dark in your life that you felt that weight. And that weight is on and over all the peoples, all the nations, all the ethnic groups who don't have the light. But there is hope in the darkness. And this but is an important preposition. It forms a quiet and pervasive testimony. that the Lord reigns, the Lord intervenes, the Lord cares. And his word stands firm for all generations. And there is indeed hope because the Lord will shine ongoing and continuously. Right? Not just a one-time event like we talked about earlier. It will continue on. As the Lord himself is the dawning and continuous light that makes the nation's darkness disappear. And in verse 3, it's declared by God, nations will come to your light. Right? These are foreign nations, Gentiles, and foreign Gentile kings. They're going to come to the shining brightness. And this, within this verse, the people of that day and we today are reminded of the covenant that God made with Abraham all the way back in the book of Genesis. That all people would be blessed through Abraham and eventually the Hebrew nation, Hebrew people. Genesis 12, 2 through 3 says, he's God talking to Abraham, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. All the families, clans, tribes, kindred folks, the whole earth will be drawn and blessed by the light, by the glory of God. So after generations of trial that the Hebrew folks have gone through, the trouble they've been in, the darkness they've lived in. Remember, Judah was conquered. The wall of Jerusalem was torn down. The temple destroyed. The people sent into exile for two generations or three generations. Now God says, raise your eyes. Lift them up. Look all around you. Those dark days, they are over. Look at what the glory of God has done. All the families and clans of the earth, all the foreign kings now gather and assemble and recognize who God is and come to the light. Come to my nation and my people. And further, it says the nations and families of Israel will be restored. It talks about sons and daughters returning. Those who were taken in exile, they now will return. Families will prosper. And when you see and experience all that God has done, just like we do when we gather on Sunday mornings, you will worship God. You will be radiant. You will have great joy in God's covenant and promises. You'll see the greatness and the glory of God, and you'll be in awe and tremble at God's greatness and God's blessing. And you shall rejoice, like we talked about earlier, in the glory of God. It says your heart will be expanded and widened with a joy that can only come from the presence of God's glory. Because of who God is and all that God has done and the light I have given you, the nations will respond as well. We respond in worship today. And how do we respond? We bring offering to the Lord. We do that every week. And the kings will as well. We'll bring the abundance and wealth. That was also which was taken from you from the temple. It will be returned. It will be brought back to God. So this returning, what God described in our text this morning, was fulfilled in many ways in history. Such as King Darius of Persia contributing, he contributed financially, made an order to the rebuilding of the temple when the folks returned. Also, he ordered that the gold and silver that was taken by the Babylonians, that also is sent back to the temple that King Nebuchadnezzar took. You can read about these details in the book of Ezra, Chapter 6, if you want more information. But we see what is described in Isaiah 60 as fulfilled completely and eternally, starting with that light again, that light from the star in Matthew 2. We read that earlier today. Many of you may know that passage. It's read this time of year. But a few details to remember as we look back to Isaiah. Right, the Magi came from the east. It says in Matthew 2:2. The Magi asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him, coming from the east. They were Gentiles from other nations and families and tribes. They saw that light, the light of the star. They came to worship the one the light was over. They brought from other lands and nations gifts and wealth. Matthew 12:10 through 11. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child was with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Foreign kings will come and worship and bring wealth and offering. So we see the promises of God in prophecy through Scripture, all the way back to Isaiah 500 to 700 years before Jesus was born. Connections through the Scriptures. So that starlight that Magi followed signified the coming of the Messiah in full, the one who is the very light of God. And continuing to reflect on Christ and the light and who Christ is declared in John 1:9, Christ is the true light that gives light to everyone who is coming into the world. Jesus declares about himself in John 8:12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus is the light of the world that has overcome darkness. Jesus is the light of the world that when people see and recognize the light, they come from near and far. They've been doing it for 2,000 years. They come from near and far to be covered in that light, to worship him, to respond with offerings and praise. We know in Philippians that it describes that in the end, on the last day, all people will recognize who Jesus is in the light and bow down to Jesus Christ as Lord. So Jesus is the light of the world. And those who have been drawn out of darkness have submitted to Jesus as Lord. We know they have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples in Acts to wait for the Holy Spirit to come on them in Jerusalem after he ascended. And just like the Magi, you have seen a green light because you are now filled with the Holy Spirit. You are filled with the light of Christ. And Christ even describes this in his Beatitudes in Matthew 5:14, when he's talking to his disciples. He says this to them, "You are the light of the world. You've been filled with the Holy Spirit. You have the light of Christ." So what do we do with that, is the question. We see quickly, if you go to Matthew 5 later and read it, in 5:16, Jesus says, you don't hide it. That's the one thing you don't do, is you don't hide the light. You don't hide the whole of the life that you have in you. You take it out and you share it with others. Let the light shine. And specifically, one example of how that is done, we see in Luke 10, verse 2 through 3. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers, to send out those filled with the light, with the Holy Spirit, the life of Christ, into his harvest field." So you are to arise, shine. Remember that kum or, remember that phrase, use it with people. And like the Hebrew people, lift up your eyes. Look out into this world and see where the light of Christ is needed. See where that harvest is plenty, because the scripture tells us the workers are few, and you are the light of the world. You are those workers. Now, the church recognizes that, and that's why myself and others will be concentrating more fully on this year on the creation of a new worshiping community. Right, this community is going to be built through relationship, those who are not part of a church, those who don't know Christ, those who are in need of community and belonging and purpose and hope. So as that work is done, pray for that. Pray for it to be done well. Pray for those who will be impacted. Pray for the abundant harvest. Pray for the light of Christ to shine and shine brightly. And as we go into the new year, I'd like you all to consider, for what purpose is God calling and directing you? God is calling and directing you to arise and shine. God gives you the power. God gives you the purpose. So pray for God to open your eyes to see the world the way that God does, and to see people the way that God does. And pray for God to put you in situations and circumstances for that light to shine. Circumstances which you may not be comfortable in, but will give you the opportunity to grow as disciples. Opportunity to spread the light of Christ throughout our communities and our families. So, Kumor, arise and shine. Powered by God and God's purposes, be that light as you're that worker for Christ out in the field. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed our First Pres Mommy podcast. Learn more about our church at our website, firstpresmommy.org. Have a great week.